Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Shower, shave, and coffee, it's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's Would You Rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today. It's Dusty and Cam.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
You'll love your dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Good morning! Happy Tuesday to you, the 7th of April, 2020. Dusty here, Cam Kalalan. Good morning.
Hello.
How you doing, bro?
I'm doing.
Doing?
Happy 27th birthday, everybody.
I was just writing that down.
Happy 27th. Well, I beat you.
Yeah.
It's a competition on a daily basis.
No, it's good.
Let's
beat your
ass.
Of course.
27 years.
Yeah.
27 years it's been of the greatest escape. We call it one of the greatest escapes or the greatest pickles ever been in.
Oh, absolutely.
Think so?
Mm-hmm.
In cinematic history? Sports pickles?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have Radio Flyers?
No.
No.
I did not know what radio, my dad had to explain what Radio Flyers were to me.
Well, they made you jump higher. I convinced my mom that Jordans are going to make me jump.
Like, Radio Flyers, the
I didn't.
Yeah,
you're
Radio
right.
Flyers,
Radio Flyers. PF Flyers. My fault. Thank you. PF Flyers. We're supposed to make you jump higher. But you know when you pickle the beast, that's what happened. So happy birthday to the Sandlot.
Yeah, you were in high school when that movie came out.
Yes, I was. 27
yeah.
years ago.
And that movie still resonated with the high school crew just as much.
James Earl Jones, blind James Earl Jones. Fantastic in that movie.
I was like 9 years old when that movie came out. And so that was right in my wheelhouse because me and my buddies, we all thought we were the Sandlot kids.
Yeah.
You know, instead we played in a trailer field in a trailer park instead.
Did you always have like I absolutely, this is what I love about this movie is everybody has the kids in the neighborhood that come in on the expensive bikes and the new uniforms. Everybody has that group.
Yeah.
We had that group. Those were the Mount Vernon kids. We called them that because we were the Siege Woolies. We were the...
Yeah.
But we had the Mount Vernon kids. They always had the nice uniforms. They had the better bikes. And
yeah.
It's just what it is. They're just... They thought they were better than everybody.
That was us.
God dang those.
Yeah. We were
Bulldogs.
The hicks. We were the hicks that really didn't... I mean, we didn't have a neighborhood. But what would happen is that was, for us, it was Reedville baseball. They always had manicured fields and they had great uniforms and they looked the part. And, you know, that was like our rival growing up, you know, because they just took care of their ball fields and they took care of their uniforms. They looked good. Meanwhile, we were like out in the, we had the jerseys that were, the undershirt, like the three-quarter sleeve shirts where the sleeves are a different color. We just had our team name and our number on the back, you know? We had kindergarten teams that were sponsored by a tavern.
Yeah.
You know, like T-ball teams.
You all right, Ryan?
Buck is struggling today.
But pay no attention that our producer can't find headphones at work at all.
He can't find headphones at work whatsoever.
He's full panic. How many years have we been telling him this now, too, to get his own damn headphones? Yet he still wears those.
The studio equipment should remain in the
studio. Oh, one of those.
Buck's because on one
you
this
do
morning.
Realize. I've been looking for headphones for 40 friggin' minutes.
That is true.
You do realize, Ryan, you're the only one of all the on-air staff that doesn't have their own headphones.
You do realize I'm not obligated to have my own
you're
headphones.
You're not obligated.
Actually,
but
no, he's not.
You're not. You're 100% not obligated. But you do remember the story I told you about me getting that greasy ear crap all around my head, and I went, nope, never wearing these again. Did I just scare you with more contagion?
No.
Yeah. It's gross.
He only shares them with Swigard. Swigard is the only other person.
Well, again, Swigard has his own. I don't share them with anybody. I don't know who took them.
Swag has his own.
But you obviously share them with somebody because they're gone.
Well, someone took them. Yeah, I don't know who came in and took them.
You know why?
No, because there are other radio people in this building, and they're thieves.
Because Will, Mike, and Swag all have their own. So does Joe Fisher.
This thieves. Was probably asked yesterday. Hey, does anybody use these? And the answer was no.
No. You are the only one that doesn't have their own set. Mm. It's tax deduction.
Maybe Ryan is in the wrong for thinking that the headphones were his own.
I think so, too. I'm on that train.
Well, they're either mine or they belong to the studio. Either way, they should be here.
But here's a theory. You could actually wrap them up and put them in your backpack every day and just keep them.
Here's the thing. I don't own them.
Yeah, you can. Occasionally,
Wait, so
it sounds
you're
like.
You're upset that the public headphones were taken.
Were taken.
Well, either way, they're the only headphones used by me. In this studio, so they should probably be here.
Buck's having a rough Tuesday.
He's really having a rough day. He's very defensive. He's very snarky.
Well, no, I'm not defensive.
He's very angry. All we're trying to do is say, just trying to fix something here.
Did you just invent another word, snarfy?
Snarfy? Yeah, snarfy. You never heard anybody called snarfy?
No.
Oh, God. Well, welcome to being a redhead.
Snarfy? But,
snarfy.
I've heard snarky.
Snarky, snarfy.
No.
See, Buck's not a little chippy this morning?
He is a little,
a little chippy.
Well, I think you are too because you came out of the gate with, well, I beat you to it. Everything's a competition.
No, I'm chippy. Come on, man. I'm chippy every day. That is my, that's who I am. I piss excellence every damn day.
But then it's directly pointed at Buck.
Yeah, no, he was a little defensive.
I'm not defensive.
He's just
I'm
having angry. A rough
he's just
morning.
Angry.
He's
just
having
angry.
A rough morning.
I want other people to be angry occasionally.
But this should be a morning that we don't have that chips on our shoulder.
Why?
Because there's good news happening in our sports landscape.
There's talks.
Well,
we talk for a living.
I'm going glass half full on this.
I wake up every day glass half full.
Life's a garden. Dig it. Joe Dirt.
I rode my bike around yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well, what kind of bike do you
got
have?
I have a cruiser bike.
So do I. Schwinn?
No. Uh-huh. No.
I've got a Schwinn cruiser.
Mine has a little 7-speed in there adjustment, but it's
22-incher?
22 or 24. Somewhere along there. Somewhere along that line.
I bet you have a 26.5.
It might be a 26.5. Yeah. Probably like that. No, it's called Furlong. Like
Excuse
furlongs?
Me?
I think that's the name. Firmstrong. That's the name of the bike.
Firmstrong. Hey, Furlong. Swinson, Swanson, Samsonite.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
We should have optimism, though, today. A little boost to us. A little boop. As we have our Hard Knocks teams announced, heard in Buck's sports update, that we're going to have a double dip of Hard Knocks. Does that mean it's going to be twice as long?
Sounds like it.
But Rams and Chargers set for Hard Knocks, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. I don't know how I feel about that.
Feel about what?
Having two teams on it. I like just the deep dive into one team.
Why?
Because you get a lot more storylines.
You're the one that says all the time, more is more. More is better.
What?
You say, give me more. Give me more sports. Give me more content.
Yeah, but this is not more of a deep dive. This is just throwing more teams into their hour-long
show.
Oh,
it's just
one extra
camera.
I...
They're all in the same place.
I would love to see, now, if you have two different, so instead of like 1 hour, you get 2 hours of Hard Knocks.
Oh, too
now
much.
Now we're talking. See, but then
It's a lot of stipulations here.
You're splitting up a half hour into each. And I love the side stories that we get, though. The guys who are going to be cut, and can you dive into some of yes. those guys as much when you have
Yeah, don't you take pleasure in guys losing their jobs and never playing their game again?
No, that's not that's you not said it. You, it's the you said
you love the stories
them.
Of them getting cut. I'm on fire today.
No. No,
you got you sensitive Sallys. I'm coming after both of you.
I don't believe that that is accurate.
No, but if we do have two teams, I do think that more content is better. I think that's great for LA because they're going to be at the same facilities back and forth when they're doing their. Now they'll have their separate facilities when they train, but then I 100% bet they're going to practice against each other. Well, and so that'll be great.
That's going to be one
that's
of
the best
big,
part about it.
It's going to be one of the big things that we have this training camp is. The joint practices apparently are going to be a plenty as teams are going to want to make up for that time lost during the OTAs and stuff. We're going to see more joint practices that have already been scheduled previously. Mm-hmm. And then now we're going to see kind of even more of those sessions. If y'all listen to the reports that are out there of how teams are trying to adapt to this
is too sport. We're already sports.
I know.
This. God dang it. You didn't have to go there. All I said was Buck didn't have headphones, and that thank gosh for the Beast.
Well, what I'm wearing.
Oh, by the way, the
my
Beast
own headphones
is Sandlot. Sandlot came out
27 years ago.
Isn't that amazing?
Is that 1993?
That would be
that's the spring of my senior year.
That is when I said Sandlot came out in 1993.
I just wanted to give this one small. This is not a serious shout out. This is just my glass half full, glass half empty. You know, the state of Washington canceled school for the rest of the year. And I'm if you're out there and just everybody's dealing with a lot of different things, I feel for all the seniors, for both collegiately and high school-wise, when it comes to losing your year and all those experiences. I know it's a small little thing that we're giving up. And it's big world problems. There are things that we're going to lose, but the opportunity to still be taking care of each other. But the chance to... All those things you're going to miss out on senior, hopefully that there are going to be bright futures for everybody for that. Not just with sports, but just everybody who was a senior what it was like to walk or graduate mm-hmm. and spend that time with your family and your friends and celebrate those 4 years that you put into that. I feel for all of you, and I hopefully that there is some sort of celebration that each one of you can do.
Well, you have prom that you're missing too, and all of the things that go into being a senior and graduating. You know, the closest thing that, I came kind of close. They just lopped off the last month of my school year when I was a senior, but we still got to enjoy prom and we still got to have all those things. Like this is, over 2 months being cut, almost 3 months in some cases being cut from school districts. And, the state of Washington did it and Oregon is in the coronavirus and the fight against the coronavirus. It was a couple weeks behind and, in a couple of weeks, probably going to happen down here as well.
I don't know. I haven't heard
of the school year.
Haven't heard. Every governor is different.
Well, all signs are pointing that direction because the Oregon Department of Education released last week that they are looking at the possibility of no kids returning to school and starting next week, a week from yesterday. They're going digital classrooms where grading will happen. It was just supposed to be a review. Prior to that, and then they changed the guidelines last week. So,
everything's kind of online. Get used to Zoom, get used to your communicating with teachers and putting lesson. My wife was lesson planning for about 8 hours last night or all day yesterday.
Yeah, it's a
communication.
Tough thing.
It's definitely different. I think moving forward, we're never going to see just the backup plans. And I was talking to her about this yesterday. This is obviously not sports, but think about all the new curriculum that is now going to have to be created for backup and contingency plans moving forward for education of what we're going to have to do. Of just having online curriculum is part of what the future was going to give us. It might be something that we really incorporate more and more often.
That is something. But some things are very hard to teach online, and nearly impossible to teach online.
What I can't teach you how to bench press online.
You actually could do that, but science is very.
I can't yell at you in your face to get that weight up off your chest.
Chemistry is a very tough thing to teach online, right? When you are learning with chemicals because you don't have those chemicals in front of you.
I love dissecting the frogs and the pigs and stuff and going through all that.
Right.
Super interesting.
Those are things
love biology.
Online you just can't do. Like, you can't do science labs in front of it. And having somebody in front of you and telling stories, like, history is one of those classes.
So you're saying
where
we need human contact.
It's way better to have history on, you know, with somebody in front of you telling you exactly what was happening at that time. Yeah, human interaction is an important thing.
It's kind of an important thing.
I mean, we can do a lot of things digitally. And we can do a lot of things in a digital classroom and working away from people and remotely. But there are things that require you to be in person for. And those are the things that I feel bad for, is those kids that, you know, even if you're not a senior, you're missing out on some of that education. And look, to be frank, there's a lot of teachers that just aren't equipped to be in a digital classroom.
There's a lot of ones that suck at technology. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah, and it's no fault of their own.
Well, yeah, it is. They suck at it. It's like my dad.
Boy, you need to eat your Wheaties.
You
this
know, it's
morning.
All jokes. It's all You're, jokes. Come I on, know. It's just a joke. Come on, it's like when I call your dad and I try to FaceTime my dad. I'm like, you hit the button.
And my dad still puts
and
it
he's
to
like,
his face.
And he's like, what do you do? What I refuse to learn this garbage blogging contraption. I'm like, it's just a button, Dad. That's all you got to do. I just don't understand the logic of it.
Speaking of dads, happy birthday to my dad, Andy.
Happy birthday.
Andy, turning 69 today. So happy birthday, Dad.
People that stick FaceTime to their face too close.
That's right. The social distancing.
Can you see me?
Yeah, I see the side of your face. Look, I'm trying to show you your grandchildren and the dog. Mm. Come on. Look at it. All right. We're already over.
No, it's like the technology train. You decide to get on and off. If you choose to get on and off, it's like the fashion train. Eventually, you just get off.
Yeah, some people just don't have.
They don't want to get on the fashion. They don't want to get on the technology train anymore.
They don't have it in them.
They don't want to do it.
55305 is the fan text line. Got something special for you today. We are starting some little homeschooling for y'all out there. We will be joined by the Oregon Zoo's animal curator, Amy Cutting, at 8 o'clock. We are going to be soliciting questions from you at 55305. If you have any zoo questions, 8 o'clock is the time that you can sit down with your kids, take a listen, and we're going to do a little homeschooling. It'll be like a science class right here on the fan, and it'll be a chance for you or kids and us to ask questions to Amy Cutting, we'll find out what an animal curator of the Oregon Zoo is. She does all the exhibits at the Oregon Zoo. So it's a pretty cool opportunity to talk to her and get a chance to learn, because as you said, school's being canceled. So we got to help people learn. All right. Us parents, we're not equipped to be teachers. On top of that, our P1 social, the MLB's quest to return. Will it happen? And I got a question for you that will spin off of that. Major League Baseball's big vision of isolating people. Would you isolate for 4 months away from everybody to go to work? For millions of dollars, it's on the line. 55305. Coming up next, though, the NFL is going one way. The UFC is going the other. 619 on the fan. All right, 622, Dusty here, Camp Cleveland with you. All right, after the NFL said, hey, you guys can all get together for your drafts, just make sure social distancing and your local government rules are being adhered to, the NFL has said, well, the backlash has been too much. The reactionary league continues to be just that. They're going virtual for the draft. Fully virtual.
Yeah, as they should be.
Nobody, I guess rooms are going to be very small, 2 to 3 people, if any, are in the same room. But the NFL is saying that, hey, we have the technology, we have the people to do it, and we have enough time to where we can get this thing going. Roger Goodell is going to be doing his announcing picks from his home. Mm-hmm. Do we even need him to announce the picks?
Of course you do.
You do?
Boy, he's the commissioner.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, he could do it and just...
Yeah. You need him to announce the picks.
Have the team just kind of plop it up and go...
Yeah, you don't have to change anything. He just kind of goes... Bring, whatever that sound is. Whatever. I have it in my head. I just can't quite sing it yet. Yeah, it's like this. The pick is in.
Yeah.
I'd be curious, really, if they follow the same parameters. I can't wait till they release, if they'll have 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, depending on. Because I remember back in the day, the first round was 15 minutes per pick.
Gosh.
It took forever.
Why do you need so much time? My question is, why do teams take so long? Are they all waiting for trades to come through?
It's always what it's been. Waiting for trades.
Goodness gracious.
Now you have to make your decisions a little bit quicker as they bumped it down to 5 minutes. But I would bet if they keep it at 5 minutes, that I they actually might move it off of 5 minutes to give teams more time. And you got to have contingency upon backup contingency plans in case someone's power goes out, the internet goes out. There's got to be a lot of things, little things that happen. In fact, John Harbaugh even said he's worried about it being hacked.
Well,
like somebody sending in a fake pick.
Look, people, the hackers try to do these things all of the time.
Hack the draft. They're all going to draft one player over and over again.
And they have a month to get ready for it. Think of it.
And hack it.
A month. And there's a lot of people that are upset.
Oh, there's a smart kid about the sitting NFL. Somewhere doing it right now. He's gotten somewhere. He's already got his programming. He's get everything together.
This has got to be terrifying for the National Football League, especially like somebody may just want to hack in just to look and see. And then, you know, tip picks or whatever it may be and not do anything really nefarious, but just kind of ruin the day because there are idiots that just try to do that.
It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect. It's going to be different. Something we've never seen before. We can nitpick it all we want. We can say this, say that. It's still going to be NFL coverage and we're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's better than nothing and it's live. And first of all, you got to think of all the guys' careers that are trying to get started and hopefully going to have long careers from free agents to first rounders to fifth rounders. This is a special day for all of them, and they've been putting in a lot of work, and I'm glad the NFL is moving forward with it.
And that's one thing that kind of worries me about this whole thing is that, look, those guys have been working so hard, and some hacker may just want to be funny, make a name for himself, and it'll ruin that day for that person.
Dusty, it's a lot on the same lines of what happened to Laramie Tunsil. Okay, there's some people that just want to do it, and they want to just smash down on somebody, and they just want to take advantage, and they want to try to ruin everyone else's lives and make a big deal, put out a gas mask video, threaten another guy about having how he's involved in a potential murder and all the like Lael Collins and all this other crap. Those people exist. So that's not going to change because there's a bunch of morons out there that are jealous. And congratulations to your jealousy.
Wasn't that a part of like extortion type deal?
Yeah,
too?
I know it happens all the time.
Jeez.
So if you want to hold somebody hostage digitally, good luck to you. I mean, if you want to try it, I mean, I get it.
Unbelievable. Meanwhile, while the NFL is going virtual and being reactionary to people's criticisms, Dana White is saying, nah, I'm not going to stop anything. I'm actually going to move forward.
I am also, a day or two away from securing a private island. I have a private island that I've secured. We're getting the infrastructure put in now. So I'm going to start doing the international fights too with international fighters. Because I won't be able to get international fighters, all of them, into the U.S. So I have a private island. I'm going to start flying them all into the private island and doing international fights from there. So as of April 18th, the UFC is back up and running.
I freaking love that.
That is via TMZ. What a baller move by Dana White.
First of all,
hey, we're going to go buy an island.
He sounds like Tom Hanks. Tom might have an island.
Also,
he knows of an island.
Isn't this the basically Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
But that's what he's doing, is setting up a real-life Mortal Kombat, but they'll have an octagon.
Finish him. Yeah, I think this is spectacular.
The movie Mortal Kombat, it's a fight that takes place on island. And it's wild to sit there and be like, you know what? Khabib can't get in from Russia.
I wonder why he did an island. Why didn't he just rent a big boat?
Well, because he has the deal is that
if it sits out in international waters.
Because you rent a big boat, where are the people going to fly into? An island. You need somewhere to land a plane because you got people coming from like Russia, Brazil, the United States.
Well, you land a plane, like it's like Fantasy Island. You bring in the seaplane, and it just glides in, and then they have a little skiffed. And shuttle them up to the big boat.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways to do it. Look, Boston plane.
I don't think you could take a seaplane from Russia to wherever.
Just get on in
Bahamas.
Another connection.
But, first of all,
helicopter
he's not
him
telling
in.
Anybody where this island is. Second of all.
Special.
It also, like, this is a baller move. Just like, hey, we'll just buy an island, put up a fight. But this also has the potential to be Firefest, number one, because remember, they were like, hey, we could just hold the music festival on an island. And then they ran into all of these logistical errors, like, oh, I don't know, getting power to an island where they're going to have lighting. They're going to have power for lighting, for running the locker rooms, for running the cameras.
Nah, they don't need any locker rooms. This is like Survivor. They're sitting around the fire. They just kind of flip a coin. You know, there was a couple, you read a story, it was in the New York Times, about a couple that was on their honeymoon, and they were trapped on this island with just them and the workers. Like, everybody jumped ship and left, and they were there on this honeymoon island all by themselves, where they were the only ones right there. And the only other way to get off that island is take a boat to the next island to then take a small plane to get off. Look, there's islands like this everywhere. Didn't you see the Leonardo DiCaprio Island movie? What was the name of that movie?
Shutter Island?
No.
The Beach.
The Beach. Thank you, Buck. Good movie.
Never seen it.
Great movie. I don't say great movie. Good
also
movie.
Never seen it.
You haven't seen it? Oh, it's good.
Wait, it's been falling down your list on your hierarchy there. Went from great movie.
No, it's good. I want to say great. Great. Great is there's different. Yeah, it's good.
One step back.
It's good. It's a good movie. There's a really good. I'm going to ruin it for you. There's an excellent aquatic scene.
It's okay. You can do it. That movie came out like 10 years ago. Didn't it?
There's a good shark scene. Okay, there.
Somebody gets eaten by a shark.
Well, it's just good. It's good.
Cool.
It's good.
But isn't the first thing that you said like, all right, this is cool that they're going to do it, but what about like if somebody shows up on that island with coronavirus and then they fight somebody and then they leave?
Wouldn't he test for that?
Well, there's a lot of different things because they're going to have transportation. They're going to have medical staff. And by the way, the governing body of medical officials for combat sports has said, we do not like this idea.
Who cares? That doesn't matter what they say. But that's exactly what Dana White just said. But I got my own island.
But you know what is important is having medical attention after people get into a fight.
Well, you don't think that the smart people are surrounded with Dana White? You don't think he might be hiring a few smart people?
I think he is, but why would the governing board come out and be like, no, we hate this idea?
Because that's their job. Their job is to poo-poo everything. That's their job.
But Dana White actually did I'm glad that they did this. TMZ didn't just go, okay, let's hear more, Dana. Let's hear more. He actually talked about the safety.
First of all, there won't be any fans at this thing. There'll be no fans. Right. And yes, everybody is going to be pre-tested and tested and tested and tested. We're going to make sure that 100% healthy athletes, healthy athletic commission people, healthy judges, referees, my production people, that everybody there is going to be healthy. We're going to make sure that everybody's going to be safe before, during, and after the fights.
All right. Hey, if that's what I'm glad, because TMZ can often just let people talk and then that's what they do in their interviews. They actually asked him about the safety aspect. And if you can do it and they can do this rapid testing that apparently is being developed and close to being done, hey, if they can get their hands on those I'm all for it. I am all for it 100%. I think this would be great for UFC. It'll be great for people to kind of get that distraction of having live sporting back. And it'll be good. 55305, that is the fan text line. They're not the only league looking to come back, though. MLB's quest to return. Will it happen? 55305, and would you isolate for 4 months? Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Move to the coast, we get together, have a few laughs.
Text us at 55305, I'd love to berate you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive!
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
Five 55305. That is the fan text line. Hey, late last night, Jeff Passan of ESPN had quite the little news dump for us on a Monday night. He reported that Major League Baseball and its players are focusing in on a plan to bring baseball back in the month of May in Arizona, basically biodome it, take over a resort, put all teams in the Phoenix area, play at 10 minor league stadiums and the Chase Field, home of the Diamondbacks, and get Major League Baseball back up and running. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that has kind of gone into it, but they have talked, according to the report, they're getting a lot of support from high-ranking federal public health officials who believe they can pull it off. And they're saying that here's kind of some of the details for what they do. Basically, isolate these guys for however long it takes, whether it's a month or up to 4.5 months of complete isolation from everybody. You play games. You would have triple headers at each of those stadiums. You'd get in as many games as you possibly can over the summer months. But it would also include an electronic strike zone so the umps can maintain distance from the catcher and the batter. No mound visits, 7-inning doubleheaders with earlier than expected start dates that could allow baseball to come closer to their 162 game. Mm-hmm. On-field microphones for added TV bonus for the viewers. And instead of in the dugout, players would sit in the stands 6 feet apart for social distancing. What do you think?
Well, I think it's great because instead of breaking down everything that's probably wrong with it or what work or what medical facilities and all these things, I applaud what Major League Baseball is trying to do is think outside the box and come up with a strategy.
Pretty cool.
To try to give us some sort of break from staring at old film over and over again and watching old reruns to say, if we follow the protocols, if we do the things that are the best way that we know how, and give us the opportunity to watch these guys play. And watch them play baseball in a safe manner, according to what mm-hmm. our CDC regulations tell us to do at this point. So I think if it can be pulled off, how fast? Let's go.
And this is passing on SportsCenter with SVP last night, talking about, you know, the getting clearance from the bigwigs and the people that matter as it comes to coronavirus and in our public health.
What they've got, Scott, is the backing of federal health officials. Major League Baseball and now the Major League Baseball Players Association have been in touch with officials from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as well as the National Institute of Health. And what they have come to terms with is that the likeliest way that baseball is going to be back in 2020 is if they follow this plan. Now, it's a difficult plan to follow, but I think it's one that as time goes on, they've come to terms with the idea that they are going to have to.
So you get the public health officials on site, and this goes back to what we were talking about at the UFC. It's all contingent on getting testing where they can test guys almost every single day. Mm-hmm. And testing, you know, the transport, the caterers, the clubhouse attendants, the janitors, everybody that's going to be involved, daily testing for them. And that's an important thing for both the UFC and pulling off their private island, Mortal Kombat Island, and for Major League Baseball.
Well, the other thing is that, and I understand that baseball is a sport that has built-in separation. I mean, you have plenty of 6-foot space on a baseball diamond, according to other than the umpire, it sounds like they've figured out that issue, and the batter and the catcher typically is closer than 6 feet, but I think you could probably make sure that there are ways around that. I always thought that this was going to be the NBA that was going to be the one that set the tempo first and kind of been the one, because they were in season. They were the ones that were trying to find a solution right away and come up with a solution. It sounds to me, with this announcement, Major League Baseball might beat them to it. Now, it's not a competition because basketball is a sport where there's a lot more contact, but baseball has more people to deal mm-hmm. with, more support staff, more training, bigger roster, 27 players, but how many more players will they allow to be ready? Where were the minor leaguers? Will they stay home? Will they be on hold? Will they be at this other small spaced out facility ready to be called up based on injury? I mean, so there's a lot of fun questions to put it and how to figure this out, but nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
And that one of the things Passan also talked about, though, was you have that roster size question. That is a big question because of, you know, everything that's going on with, you know, what if somebody does get sick? And Passan addressed that.
What doctors and public health officials have told Major League Baseball and the players is that you do not necessarily have to shut down. If we have the testing, if we can contain this, if the entire room has not been infected, well, we're going to have much bigger rosters, and that is a big part of this whole plan. Because, Scott, when you take into account the possibility of even a small outbreak in a clubhouse, as well as playing in the heat, which in Phoenix is going to be 100, 110 degrees during the summer, you're going to need a big roster. And that's something that I think Major League Baseball is willing to get on board with, and certainly the players are going to want.
Okay, two things out of that.
Oh, that's so great. Just playing heat every day.
Pretty.
Love it.
Oh, I mean, it's not that 150 pitches each.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, each one of those guys, hey, you're going to get through your rotation more. Put a cap on about 75 pitches. You'll be good to go.
Amazing. Public health officials are like, hey, if we have rapid testing, there's no need to shut down. That's an amazing one that little nugget's being floated out there. Mm-hmm. The other one is, doesn't that kind of lead you to believe what he's talking about with huge rosters, like a 40-man roster?
Well, we know. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it kind of sounds like.
Yep.
And we'll see kind of what that all means. Now, here's the problem that they're going to have with the hiccup with the players union. The players may not want to isolate for 4.5 months. And that could happen. Would you do it? This text, 55305, isolate for 4 months to play a game and be a multimillionaire? Yeah, I'd get by. I wonder if everybody feels the same on this one. 55305, that's the fan text line. Dustin Cam on the fan. As soon as you are. All right, 55305, that's the fan text line. Text coming in. I want to get your thoughts on this because you are the mind of the professional athlete here. You've been through this before. Like the players union, apparently Jeff Passan says the big hiccup is going to be, will players be willing to part from their families, their lives for 4 months of isolation? And there's millions of dollars at stake here for every single one of these guys. Well, almost every single one of these guys.
First I'll just address the last text before we left. Not everybody's a millionaire. So those guys, right. Not all of those guys are making 7 digits. They're not. Actually, the majority of the league only when they come out of it. I mean, even those rookies, those guys, remember, they have your rights for 6 years. A lot of them don't make millions. So the question's going to be is how much do you value, if you're a multi-year player and you've been around the league and you could say you've made some good money, you might take a sabbatical. You might say, I'm going to take some time off. If you're a player that's been around and said, I'm not willing to leave my family, I don't want to take this risk right now, I'm going to forego this year, I'll come back when the league is ready and you can have my rights, you don't have to pay me. It's that might be an option that you do as a player. But if you're a younger player and you want to get a chance to prove yourself and earn something and do it, absolutely you do that. And though I think that's what the league is going to give you the opportunity to put those risks, because when you fight for it as a group, as a collective group, as you saw both in the NFL during this last argument, you barely got 50% were on board with each other. And then you had over, what, almost, I think it was 900 guys that didn't even vote. So it was, you're not going to make everybody happy. But give them the opportunity to make that choice. And if you're a veteran, maybe you choose to take some time off.
You know, this is a question, like when you were saying that, the multimillion dollar guys, the guy who pops into my mind when thinking about this is Mike Trout. Mm-hmm. Mike Trout is, I mean, hundreds of million dollars over, but his wife is also pregnant with their first child. He's expecting his first kid in August. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're Trout, in a guy like where you're financially stable, you don't have to go and do this, and you could take that sabbatical that you're talking about. Does a guy like Mike Trout say, all right, I'm going to go and I'm going to play in this and leave my pregnant wife here? Because that's what they're going to ask him to do. Is they're going to be saying, hey, players only. We want this strict isolation according to the
report. Those are all great questions. There's going to be a lot of things. I don't think this sounds harsh at all. I think I could give up if I was what's best for my family and I had the means. Now, we're talking about people that have the means here. This isn't just everybody. I would want my family to spend time away from for 4 months. I think I could sacrifice 4 months for the means of them. Now, that's just me. Mm-hmm. Not trust that my wife or maybe the people that are around are going to help in that situation, because I know there's a lot of families, and I can only compare. There are a lot of military families that spend months and months apart, and they find ways to make this work. We're not asking for these people to leave, go to the other end of the world. Okay, they're just going to go do their job for a few months, and maybe they spend some time or they get a chance to go back and forth. I don't think it's a lot to ask. That's just my interpretation of it. And if Mike Trout wants to spend time with his wife and wants to sit out a year and forgo his salary, then that's up to him.
You know, and unlike the military in this instance here, where, you know, they are gone for months and months on end, they can leave. Like, Mike Trout can leave in July if he want. If they're saying, well, this is going to go into July and August, well, he can leave in July and play a month and a half and take his time. And if it goes unpaid, then so be it, you know, and he can do that. And I think that is an important thing to think about. I also know like guys that work in the oil industry or, you know, drilling industry, who they'll go and they'll work on rigs, whether it be in Alaska or offshore.
Yeah.
And they'll be gone for months on end.
Yeah, Alaska fishermen are gone. And gone for months.
That is something that, I mean, that is a norm. But we also have to realize when talking about these real world, you know, work situations, some of these guys don't think like that. You know, they're not thinking in those terms, and they hasn't been posed to them because everybody's living in their own little bubbles right now, you know? Mm-hmm. And that is something that you have to think about. Your text, 55305. I would do 4 months in the local county jail for a chance to play Major League Baseball and make millions. Come on, man.
Again, not all of them are making millions of dollars, but okay, that's the perception, is that you're just, if you are a rookie and you're playing on a rookie deal, and you're maybe guaranteed a year or something like that, you're playing for a couple hundred grand. That's really after you pay everything and all your agents and all this other stuff. That's what you're paying for.
Isn't that
so? If you want to risk it, it's up to you.
Isn't that the wild part about it though? Is that it's not the guys making millions.
No, those guys' contracts are locked in.
Well, that's not those aren't the ones that are going to be going. Like the people that are making $100,000 are more prone to play in this because they need it.
That's exactly why you're going to have, you might see a lot of fresh new faces. You might see guys that you'd never seen before or not know, but it gives them an opportunity to find the future stars of Major League Baseball. And it's content and they're out there playing and they're doing it safe. I'm all for it.
I like this on the fan text sign. If they don't play, they don't get paid. If I'm correct, that makes an easy answer for 60% of the league.
Absolutely.
You're dang right.
It's a performance-based business. If you don't perform, you don't get paid.
I do. I do appreciate that we have so many different views and outside the box thinking that we're seeing in sports in this time, right? From Dana White and what we talked about earlier in acquiring a private island for his UFC fights. The NBA thinking of going to Vegas. With the NHL, I saw there's a report of something about North Dakota and going up there because they've got, you know, they got rinks up there that they can play in. Mm-hmm. You know, NFL is going virtual for their draft and trying to figure out what they got. And the NFL, man, if they're sitting there and they're going, man, we can just sit back and watch how every other one of these leagues, because being the first is going to be a tough sell for anybody in professional sports.
What do you mean?
It's going to be the tough sell on the public, you know, not for sports fans, not for guys like you and I, because of course
we're part of the public. We have sane minds talk about what's good for
non-sports fans. Though they're going to be like, this is so far down on the totem pole. They're going to say this is so far down on the totem pole. We don't need this back. These tests can go elsewhere, and those are all legitimate claims. And nobody wants to be the butt of that fury that's going to be coming towards
you know, them. That's the Twitter. That's the, you know what, Twitter sits around and everybody finds reasons to not do stuff.
But I don't think that's exactly
Twitter. Oh yeah, that is 100% of what Twitter does. And what everybody is trying to do is find reasons not to do something right now, which, you know what, if that's you want to live in your fear bubble, that's fine. I want to listen to the smart people and say it's their options. If they give you options, how do we think outside the box and progress? Just because we're sports people doesn't mean the fact that there's always going to be the naysayers. There's the naysayers that say, we don't need any sports. I hate football. I hate all these sports. I just want to do this all the time. Those aren't going to change. But that's what's great about what we have, is that we have options. We're not a communist country that tells us, you can't do it. And you're like, okay, we can't do it. Tuck your tail unless we do it. We have that, a little bit of a luxury. Now, can we be smart about it? Sure.
Yeah,
most definitely.
And I think where a lot of that rage and outrage comes from people, though, would be from those smart people, you know, the public health officials saying, you know, we don't have enough sufficient testing right now, and we need more sufficient testing. I think all of this will hinge in every single report, it should be noted, does say that this does depend on rapid testing and sufficient amounts of rapid testing. And that is an important thing to think about. But, you know, I think that the Twitter brigade that you're talking about, they won't care if there is sufficient testing.
The mobs don't care. They want you to be miserable. They want you to be scared. They want you to feel bad that you went outside. They want you. I can't believe you rode your bike I can't believe you did that. I mean, all these things they're finding every reason. Those mobs of people find every reason just to. Take it with a grain of salt.
55305. That's the fan text line. Have more on it coming up. MLB's quest to return and what it means for the robo-ump. We'll have that coming up next hour. Plus, should Russell Wilson give back his salary? One person is suggesting so. Well, not all of it, just a portion of it. Dusty and Cam, hour number two starts with Hot and Cool on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.